Log Talk Radio.
I won't
My soul says yes, Jesus. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. He's saying there's more that I require of thee. There is more that I require of thee. He's calling you higher. There is more that I require of thee. He said, don't be afraid of men and their faces. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. He said, I'm calling you out of your dry place. I'm calling you out of your dry place. Say it. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. 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 I'm calling you. I predestined you before the world began to do my will. To do my
gonna tell God yes. Make it personal. Your worship means nothing without a yes. Without obedience, it means nothing. But if you're really gonna tell God yes, come on. Make it personal. Lift your hand. Tell the Lord yes. Soul says yes. My soul, my soul. My soul says yes. I'll do what you want me to do, Jesus. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it, Jesus. I'll do it, Jesus. I'll do it, Jesus. I might have to give up some relationships, but my soul says yes. I might have to give up some things that I hold dear to me, but my soul says yes. You mean everything to me, Jesus. You're the first and foremost in my life. That's why I can say yes. I can say yes. I can say. So let your heart and soul say
your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this: our God is awesome. He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Come on,
our God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
His strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign.
Come on, say my God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
Valley.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign.
Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing.
Come on, if you know he's awesome, say it.
Lift your voice.
Forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living.
Somebody ought to praise his holy name.
Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it.
Come on and lift your voice.
Come on and say awesome.
Awesome.
Come on, if you believe it, lift
Somebody ought to celebrate the arms of God.
A change has come over me. He changed my life, and now I'm free. Jermaine is coming at this time.
A change You say, God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 We just thank God tonight. We thank Him being the everlasting God. Thank Him for all He's done, all He's doing, all He's yet going to do in our lives. We thank Him for just life up the strength. We thank Him for favor. The favor of God is upon us. We thank Him for the grace of God that brings about a change in our lives. You know, we just begin to thank God and praise Him and worship Him and magnify His name. We thank Him for coming into the house of the Lord. So to come, let us magnify the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. And they say, who they say, Hosanna, blessed be the rock of my salvation. But we just want to thank God tonight. We want to thank God for the opportunity to praise Him, to worship Him, to magnify His name. We want to talk about praising God that leads to worship Him. We got an example tonight from my brother David. And I'm going to share this with you as far as devotions. But my brother David, yeah, he said, the psalmist David had to wait a long time for God to fulfill the promise of becoming king. When we praise God, it's taking us while we wait. Sometimes we be in a waiting pattern. And I just got to tell you, when you're in that waiting pattern and you're holding on to whatever God is doing in your life, just being a praise God in the waiting pattern. Man, my mom and myself, we just always, we shared this message. And it was about the process or the in-between. And that was about, like, God showed you the promise, you know, and you know what the beginning is, but that in-between is always something. So David was promised to be a king. When Samuel went and anointed him, he was promised to be king, but all the stuff he had to go through in between. God was already training him in the wilderness before when he said, hey, he killed the lion and the bear and all those different things that he did as being a shepherd boy. But then all the stuff he had to go through in between, running and dealing the cave of Medulla, the zigzag experience, even playing the harp for Saul until Saul knew what was, the anointing was removed from him and handed over to David and wanted to kill him. All these different things was a process that you had to go through. Sometimes, you know, God oftentimes don't tell you what's going to be between the promise and the provision. He just tell you the promise and the provision. But what go through in that holding pattern, waiting for God to manifest Himself, even if it's healing, it could be a breakthrough, it could be, hey, you're going to be a billionaire. That's the promise. But in between that, there's going to be twists and turns and ups and downs, highs and lows. And what do you do when you're in that waiting pattern for God to manifest what God has promised to you? I tell you tonight, you got to start praising. So it said the psalmist David had to wait a long time for God to fulfill the promise of becoming king. After doing his years of waiting, David was also hiding for his life as King Saul chased him to kill him. Instead of walking away from his faith in God, David pressed in deeper even while he waited. At one point during his waiting, David expressed his praise by saying, in the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. That Psalms 5:3, ladies and gentlemen. He said, in the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. That phrase, wait expectantly, speaks of confident hope. The one that David was inauthentic earlier in Psalm 5, he sighs for the Lord to listen and consider his lament. In Psalm 5, I want to say, however, he pours out his heart. He shifts his focus to praising God that he will answer. See, sometimes we lament, we cry like, oh God, oh why me? Well, woe is me? And Lord, then you got to have that shift. That's why I said a wonderful change has come over me. That change is that shift. And even with Jesus, when he was praying in Gethsemane, and he was saying, Lord God, remove this cup from me, God. So find another way. Let's do it this way. Let's do it that way. And then even it was an intense prayer. I said, the prayer was so intense that sweat was coming down like blood capsules on his. But it was a very intense part to the point he said, nonetheless, Father, not my will, but your will be done. That shift came in. So now that he pours out his heart, he shifts his focus to praising God that he would answer. As he praises, the Holy Spirit strengthens his heart with confident hope. That's the extraordinary power of praise. As you wait for God to answer your prayers, follow the pattern. Pour out your heart to God in raw honesty. Again, switch your focus to praising God. He will answer because he promises to answer. As the Holy God, he always keeps his promises. As you continue to praise God, even when he feels silent, the Holy Spirit will strengthen your heart with confident hope. Selah. Pause and reflect. Answer this question. Why in my life am I waiting for a breakthrough? And how am I praising God for his character, strengthening my hope as I wait? Simple prayer. Lord God, we praise you that you are good and holy. You are a God who always keeps his word. We thank you that you promised us that if we ask, you will answer. We praise you that you always hear our voice and that we can trust you to keep all our promises, all your promises, Lord. Psalm 5 and 3, 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. Thank you that as we praise you today, you will fill our heart with confident hope. Psalm 5 and 3, I read it one more time to you. It said, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now. Praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name, Father. We thank you, God, that in the morning, God, you hear our voice, God. And in the morning, we lay our request before you. And at noonday, God, we lay our request before you. And in the midnight, God, the midnight prayers, we lay our request before you. And then we wait expectantly, God. With confident hope, knowing that if you said it, God, it's done. Your word said, God, we have not because we ask not. And then sometimes you say, we ask amiss. So, God, we seek you early where you may be found, and we knock, God. Thinking that you open the door and let us in. Father, we begin to thank you and praise you and worship before you, God. As we decrease, God, that you increase. That your holy will be done, God. Father, we thank you right now, God, that I decrease, God. That you increase, God. All of you, none of me. And everyone on the sound of my voice, God, let your Holy Spirit continue to carry us through. God, as your message, God, give us strength, give us hope to carry on. We give you honor, God, glory, and praise. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. So it is. All right, it should be us real quick. I mean, that was the devotions, but God, what God has gotten is that God's got it. God's got it. Let's go to Exodus 14 chapter. God's got it. Exodus 14 says, then the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal-Zephon. You shall encamp facing it by the sea. For Pharaoh will tell the people of Israel, they are wandering in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people, and they said, what is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his army with him, and took 600 chosen chariots, and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers, of all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel, while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them and camped at the sea of Pi-Hahiroth in front of Baal-Zephon. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they feared greatly. Sometimes it's okay to fear, but you got to know who to turn to when you fear. Like David feared for his life. Just as these Israelites feared for their life. Just as Jehoshaphat, it says, you know, Jehoshaphat feared. But then he began to recall on God, on the things that God said and the promises that God made, and made God activate himself. Declared a solemn assembly, declared a fast throughout the whole country. And in the midst of that fast, the prophet began to speak, that God said, O King Jehoshaphat, fear not, for this battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. So I'm telling you tonight to be encouraged when you are discouraged, when doubt comes, when unbelief rises up, when fear comes over as an evil spirit that it is, you got to know who to turn to. And that's God. Turn to him in praise. Turn to him in worship. Learn how to wait expectantly on God through praise. What are I doing this holding pattern? So listen to that, and they feared, right? Greatly, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? What would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness? And Moses said to the people, fear not. Look at that. Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. That preacher already. Listen, fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. When are you going to do it, ladies and gentlemen? He's going to do it today. How many are you going through something now? And you need God to move. And fear comes over you. It grips you like, I'm talking about like it puts you in slavery. It puts you in bonds and chains. Fear has gripped you. But I'm telling you right now, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. You know what he said? For the adjustments you see today, you shall never see again. Hallelujah. Moses knew something. I don't know what he knew, but he knew something. He said, you'll never see him again. And he said, well, I'll never see him again, Brother Moses. 13 verse 8, for the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. And he's telling you, shut up. Stop murmuring. Stop complaining. Stop gossiping. Stop voicing it. Oh, we should have just served him now. We should have did this. We should have done that. I should have did it. I said, shut your dog on off. Be still. Stand firm. See the salvation of the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people to go forward. Took up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, so they shall go in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. Listen here, man. I don't care what you're going through, what you've been through, what it feels like God presented itself. I don't want you to know that God's got it. I know you sing something, God's got it all in control. He said, God's got it all in control. He said, put that reassurance way down in my soul. God's got it all in control. He said, what does he have in control? All. A-L-L. He got it all in control. God's got it. God's got it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's look at Acts 27 right here. Acts 27. And then we're just going to just let God have his way. When the time came, we set sail for Israel. Paul and several other prisoners were placed in the custody of a Roman officer named Julius, a captain of the Imperial Regiment. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was also with us. We looked on a ship whose home port was Adramidium, from the northwest coast of the province of Asia. It was scheduled to make several stops at ports along the coast of the province. And then when we got to Sidon, Julius was very kind to Paul and let him go ashore to visit with friends so they could provide for his needs. Putting out to sea from there, we encountered strong headwinds that made it difficult to keep the ship on course. So we sailed north of Cyprus between the island and the mainland. Keeping to the open sea, we passed along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, landing at Myra in the province of Lycia. There the commanding officer found an Egyptian ship from Alexandria that was bound for Italy, and he put us on board. We had 7 days of slow sailing, and after great difficulty, we finally neared Cnidus. But the wind was against us, so we sailed across the creek and along the sheltered coast of the island, past the Cape of Salmon. We struggled along the coast with great difficulty and finally arrived at Fair Havens, near the town of Lycia. We had lost a lot of time, The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall, and Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. Many said, I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. And since High Havens was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend the winter, most of the crew wanted to go on to Phoenix. Farther up the coast of Crete, they spent the winter there. Phoenix was a good harbor with only a southwest and northwest exposed. Verse 13 says, when the light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength called the Northeaster burst across the island and blew us out to sea. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. We sailed along the southern side of a small island named Calder. But with great difficulty, we hoisted aboard the lifeboat being towed behind us. Then they settled down ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across to the sandbars of Sirius off the African coast, so they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. The next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. Paul told them it was going to be a loss. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until at last all hope was gone. See, sometimes all hope got to be gone for you to change your mind and really begin to trust God. We try a lot of different things first, you know, and we just don't try Jesus. We don't try drugs, we don't try sex, we don't try girlfriends, we don't try boyfriends. Some folks trying boyfriends, girlfriends trying girlfriends. I mean, it's so much being tried at this point in this hour. When all you got to do is just try Jesus. He's all right. He said that all hope was gone. Verse 21 said, no one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, man, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You should have avoided all this damage and loss. But take courage. Look at this. I'm telling you, sometimes when you just know God got it, the confident hope, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away because God gave it to me. And when you get to tell me, you're like, why is she so happy? Or why is she so happy? What is going on? Why is she such at peace when I know all the hell she just went through? But this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Or you can say, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Lord, we thank you right now. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name. We honor your name, for you are great. You are greater to be praised. Now watch this. He said, you would have avoided all this damage and loss, but take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. But last night, the man of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me, and he said, don't be afraid, Paul. For you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God. It'll be just as he said, but we'll be shipwrecked on an island. See, sometimes you just got to take courage and believe God. Moses said, hey, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord that he's going to provide for you today. Sometimes you just got to erase everything that you know, all your logic, all that makes sense, all that 1 + 1 = 2, and everything that add up, and you know it to be so. Walk with all that thing and just trust God and watch God do it. That's right. And then you got to know that God's got it. I mean, we can fear and the doctors give you all the bad news in the world. Call your family. Get prepared for this. Get prepared for that. This is what's going to happen. And you tell the dog, you tell the man, shut up. God know what God said. And I know what God's going to do. I serve a God that's able. Do you serve a God that's able? That's what you got to know. Who do you serve? Who report will you believe? Man or God? And I just tell you right now, I choose to believe God. If God said it, I believe it by my faith. I shall receive it. I'm going to stand on the promises of God tonight. I'm going to stand on the promises of God in the morning. I thank you for waking me up. When I look at all the corruption going on in the world, when I look at all the chaos going on, when I look at all the all the nonsense, all the unnecessary violence and rage, when I look at all these different things, all I can say is God be the glory. Because guess what? At the end of the day, God's got it all in control. When I look at the ailments, my bodies and sicknesses, when I look at my mother and, you know, her doctor's appointments and things to go through, I just say, God got it all in control. Doctors said all kind of crazy stuff. People look at us now like, I don't even know why you're still alive. How are you still alive? Because it's not your hands that did it. And it's not your hands that's doing it. It's God. God's got it all in control. I seen today I was at a spot called Insomnia where I go buy a little crickets from. And a dude was starting his door. He was an atheist dude. His T-shirt said he had the same star on it, on the front of it, and on the back it said, against all gods. I just shook my head and said, man, he just has no clue. He has no clue. Saying against all gods, when they ain't number one, that may really matter. It's only one that matters. And that's the one you serve. So you say, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the world certainly can't take it away. But this confidence that I forget, Joe, what confidence do you have? And that song said, I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. I will see the goodness of the Lord. I will remain confident. What confident hope do you have tonight that God would do just what he said he'll do? He'll do it. He'll do just what he said he'll do. How do you know a witness of God doing just what he said he'll do? If you're a witness of God doing just what he said he'll do, I'm going to suppress one and just begin to talk about God doing just what he said he'll do. If you're a witness of God doing just what he said he would do, I'm actually the press one. And just talk about how God will do just what he said he'll do. Six, four, four, seven, your mic is open.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Give God the praise, the honor, and the glory. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Wonderful message. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you just lay it all down, I bear witness to it. Just lay it all down. Lay it all down unto the Lord, and he will take care of you. Everything, no matter what it is, nothing too large. Hallelujah. God's got it. It's in control. He's in total control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He let us delight ourselves and be happy. Be happy. Just be happy in the Lord. Just be happy. You don't have a thing to worry about. Just go on, go on, go on, go on. Because he's got it all. He's got it all in control. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. God
Hallelujah. Got it all
in control. God's got it all in control. He took that revelation deep down in my so God got it wrong. He's got it in control. He's got it all in control. Hallelujah. He put that reassurance in us. That's what Pastor's telling us. He's already put that assurance in us. Moses didn't doubt God. He doubted his own abilities because he stuttered when he talked. But we've got to get to the place that if God says, do it, he's not going to just throw us out there and we go by ourselves. He is with us. Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And whatever angels he has put on assignment with us and not going to let us fall. And I thank God for that message tonight, because we've got to learn how to hold on in spite of. No matter if the armies are coming upon us and don't seem to be in a way to escape. Like they were, Moses, what you got in your hand? See, we don't realize the gift and the authority and the power that God has placed in our hands. And we run quiet and we run scared. We become fearful. We become all upset. We become all bent out of shape when God has already put us short in us. And we're not working it. That's what he's trying to get his people to know in these last days. Be assured that I have you in the palm of my hand. God bless you, Dad. Thank you for the message. Hallelujah.
My God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for the wonderful words and inspiration, the words, and those words of inspiration, even in testimonies, when you know God's got it all in control. When you talk to people that's been on that deathbed, we got people on this line that doctors have told them that it's over, told the family members it's over. But guess what? They're still here, still praising God, still worshiping God, still magnifying, still glorifying God, still honoring God. I know I seen my mom on that deathbed. I know I was just somebody who kicked Kelsey in the butt. Gloria. We just got people that can say, hey, I looked at them and say, so just Annette, you know, and told them, no, I ain't going nowhere. That's a wonder. You know, it's just a host of others that have been through certain things. I mean, even me in the world. And God still spared me. So God's got it all in control, no matter what you're going through.
Yes.
No matter what it feels like. Even when it seems like doors are closed and you don't know where you're going. Your careers and business. But God is saying, I got it.
Yes.
Rest assured, if you put it in his hands, it ain't all state. It's 10 times better. And you were not only good hands, you were in great hands. You were the only hands you need to be in. This is all that you have given me, I have kept. Except for the son of perdition, which was made so scripture will be fulfilled. Other than that, everything that you put in my hands, Daddy, I have kept. And now I'm giving it back to you so it can be perfected. But you know, you are in the realm of perfection. You're in the midst or in the stage of being perfected for God's glory. So tell your neighbor, tell your sister, your brother, call someone on the phone or something. No matter what you're going through, what you're feeling tonight, God's got it. And go to Exodus 14 and quote the scripture. In Exodus 14, let me tell you what scripture you need to quote to them. Go to Exodus 14, my God, and tell them what Moses told his people. Moses said, listen, 13 verse, Exodus 14 verse 13. And Moses said to me, well, fear not. That's the first thing. Fear not. So he said, stand firm. Third thing, he said, and see the salvation of the Lord. And he got so bold, he said, which he will work for you today. So you go to Exodus 14 and 13, he said, listen. Then he said, for the Egyptians whom you see today, so those strongholds that you see today, those things that come to swallow you that you see today, those spiritual imps and Satan, satanic little vices that you see today, you shall never see again.
Oh, my God.
And Moses said, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. I'm telling you, if that don't get you happy enough, I mean, tell you, encourage somebody. Just, and that's the thing, you encourage somebody going through, encourage them. Take them to Psalm 5 and encourage them. Tell them, hey, man, listen, this is what the Lord is saying. This is what thus says the Lord. David was talking to God in Psalms 5, and I'm going to be done with this. This is the last thing. He was talking to God in Psalms 5, and he said, oh, Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for I pray to no one but you. So you got to know who you're praying to. It ain't about getting on the phone and calling your sister, calling your brother, calling mama, calling auntie. No, he said, I pray to no one but you. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly. Then he said, oh God, you take no pleasure in wickedness. You cannot tolerate the sins of the wicked, therefore the proud may not stand in your presence. For you hate all who do evil. You will destroy those who tell lies. The Lord detests murderers and deceivers. And when you look at the things on, you turn on the news, this is all the stuff you see on that news right now. Even in the politicians and everything else. And he said, because of your unfailing love, because of your grace, because of your mercy that you extend every day, your brand new mercies that are being extended, I can enter your house. Then not only can I enter your house, I will worship at your temple with deepest awe. So we got to let our prayer and our praise turn into worship. And then he said, lead me in the right path, O Lord, for my enemies will conquer me. Make your way plain for me to follow. The steps have been ordered. Now, we said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Your steps have been ordered. That's why he said, just wait. That's why even he said, look, he said, make your way plain for me to follow. You want to know how the way need to be? Moses told you again, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. My God. Then he said, my enemies cannot speak a truthful word that they desire to destroy others. Their talk is foul like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with flattery. Oh, God, declare them guilty. Let them be caught in their own trust, drive them away before their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. So how many got so many people that has gone against you, have come against you, have spoken against you? And I didn't talk about the political people, because you got Satan is the accuser for a reason, because he go before God every day saying what you have done, what you're doing, what you're wearing, how you're acting, what's coming out your mouth. But God, stand still. Fear not, stand still. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And in that waiting and that holding pattern, get you a praise. Go talk to the Hebrew boys and say, how did you do it in the fiery furnace? And even then, you was on your knees with your head bowed, praising God. Paul and Silas in prison, after they got swallowed, chained up, praising God. You, on the other hand, murmuring, complaining, busting, fussing, gossiping, calling everybody, talking about it, instead of getting yourself with the right posture, in the right position, in your holding pattern, praising God. Here goes the verse of them saying, but that all who take refuge in you. See, he said, hey, the Lord is my strength, and he's my refuge. See, and Psalm 91 said, he that, you know, dwells in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He that said, no, you're my refuge, God. I find refuge in you. And I got a reason to rejoice. He said, let them sing joyful praises forever. Spread your protection over them, that all who love your name may be filled with joy, for you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround them with your shield of love. Father, we thank you right now. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name. We have full confidence that we'll see the salvation of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord. What David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name. Father, we remove ourselves from the equation. And it's all of you, none of us. And we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's also that if Isaiah said, God, if you need somebody to speak, God, you need a mouthpiece. You need a vessel. He said, here am I. Send me. And that's what we're saying. Now, here we are, God, send us. We're your vessels. We're your voices. We're your mouthpiece. We're your messengers. Send it to him, God. Give us a heart. Give me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in us so that we can serve you wholeheartedly. And in the midst of going through, we'll still give you the praise, the honor, the glory that's due you. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. If anybody want to add to a takeaway, you can press 1. I can see. Other than that, I'll ask Apostle Honor to just give us our benediction.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, we just give you praise, glory, and honor tonight. And we ask you, oh God, oh hallelujah, that you touch everyone that is in need of healing or deliverance of any kind, Father. And we ask you to let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to, unto thee, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. And we ask you to strengthen pastor and evangelist in their bodies right now. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen and amen. Well, you've been dismissed. I praise God, peace, and everyone that came and sat with us tonight. May God continue to keep you and bless you even throughout this week. May he increase you. As the man said, oh, Lord God, enlarge my territory and keep evil away. And God did it. So God, let God enlarge your coast. And we give an honor and God the glory and the praise for doing so. We give you God. We thank you, Lord. We magnify your name. In your son Jesus' name we pray. And so it is. I love you. I love you. I love you. Till next time. Jesus' name. Have a blessed night.
God bless you too, darling.
All right. God bless you.